story is very much like so many in this community. There's nothing extravagant about it. You know, and sometimes I listen to people that have these testimonies that are just absolutely amazing. You know, and they leave you, you know, in that state of mind. You walk away from hearing it, you're going, man, I wish I had been addicted to crack and killed somebody. You know, people would listen to me then. You know, sometimes we tend to think that way. As I said, my story is kind of normal. I mean, I see kids these days in high school traveling down that same dumb path that I did. I see young adults in the middle of my story. Unfortunately, it's a very normal story for this area. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Well, the passage we're going to read this morning, we're going to see God's amazing grace on display. We're going to see that God is in the saving business. But He's not just saving. He's also transforming lives. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. Here's what it says. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God. Paul clearly states that the message that he preached was from God. Verse 11 and 12, he said, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what's Paul saying here? He was saying that his message came as a revelation from God. Pretty simple. It wasn't something that he dreamed up, something that he had been taught by somebody else. It didn't come as a result of having too much sushi the night before. He said, I didn't receive it from a human source. In verse 17, we see that he goes as far as saying, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to learn from those who had become apostles. He said, he was saying that he received the message directly from a risen Christ. Now you have to remember what we talked about last week, that Paul was being criticized for the message that he preached. People accuse him of preaching a watered-down gospel because he was leaving out the law. So Paul was defending the source of the message that he preached. He was saying that this didn't come from me. This has godly origin. You know, when you think about this for a second, it kind of makes sense that people struggled to understand grace. They struggled to understand that grace was free. The message of grace, that message that the work has already been done, it kind of goes against our natural instincts. It goes back to that idea that we talked about a few weeks ago, where we have that attitude that nothing is free. Things just aren't free in the world we live in. Our natural mindset is that we have to earn or work for what we get. But we can't forget the simple fact that we will never be good enough to earn favor with God or to meet His standards. That's exactly what makes the grace of God so refreshing. That's what makes it so life-changing. It's only because of His goodness that we have it. So from that perspective, the gospel is freeing. We see in Paul in this passage, we see his transformed life, and I want to talk about it. Let's look at verses 13 and 14, and we're going to see Paul's life, and we'll talk about his life before Christ. Here's what it says. "But you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." So Paul starts out saying, all of you are aware of my reputation. You've heard of me. You know exactly what I used to be. He had a reputation for persecuting Christians. He approved Stephen's death. That was for teaching the gospel of Christ that Stephen was killed. You can look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and read the story for yourself. He believed that his mission was to totally destroy the church, to eliminate it. Here's what Paul said about himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He was saying, it doesn't get much worse than me. Christ came into the world to save people just like me. Even though I was doing the best of my ability to destroy God's church, He came for me. In verses 15 and 16, we see something happen. We see His conversion. It says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace." This was difficult for many people to understand or believe. Saul of Tarsus, the one who persecuted the church like we just talked about, became Paul the apostle, the one who preaches the gospel, the one who wrote so much of the New Testament, God's inspired word, including the book we're studying today. Let's see what happened. Let's look at that story. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Here's what it says. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from the synagogues of letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want from me?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Paul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." You know, I can't help but think, for those who knew Paul, Saul, the natural question would be, what happened? What caused this turn for him? Think about it a second. He was on his way to Damascus. He was arresting Christians on the way. And a few days later, he was there preaching that the Christians were right all along. How could these Judaizers that we talked about before explain the transformation that they saw? This man had been so passionate about persecuting Christians. I mean, the Jews were supporting Saul's mission to destroy the church, so this complete change in him was an embarrassment to them, so they weren't responsible for causing this change. What about the Christians? The Christians ran from Paul. We can read in Acts 8:1. It tells us that when he consented to killing Stephen, that the Christians were scattered because of fear. But if this incredible change in Paul wasn't caused by the Jews or the Christians, who would have caused it? You know, from an outside perspective, I think he would have been asking those questions. And I think he would realize that it could have only came from God. You see, no matter how you look at it, Paul's conversion was something that could only happen through the grace of God. It could have never happened apart from God's grace. The same God who saved Paul and called him to be an apostle gave him the message of the gospel. And for these Judaizers to deny Paul's apostleship and the gospel is the same as denying his conversion altogether. If we, you know, what would you say? That nothing happened and Paul just kind of went off the deep end? Paul's argument is this. His past conduct as a persecutor, coupled with a dramatic change that he experienced, proved that his message and his ministry could have only came from God. Paul was a changed man. He made a 180-degree turn because of Christ. Paul goes on to talk about his life with Christ. And here's what he says. I'm going to read verse 15 again and clear through the end. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except for James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. After I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. They glorified God in me. Now again, we see Paul defending the fact that his message is from God. He's saying, I didn't hang out with other people and get this knowledge. He tells us about his travel just to be able to prove this point. But we've talked about that thoroughly. So I want you to see that he reveals what his life in Christ looks like, his new purpose. What was this new purpose? Here's what he said. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And I love the way he says this, to reveal his son in me. And I want to share a story with you this morning to illustrate this point, because I couldn't think of a better way than this to illustrate what Paul was saying here. And I want to tell you a story that I heard from a man by the name of Joe Veal. He is an evangelist slash missionary, and he came to this church for a revival several years ago. It was shortly after the sanctuary was added on. But he was talking about when he was saved. God called him to go to the Congo in North Africa. And I know a lot of you have heard this story, and maybe some of you were even here for it, but it's such a powerful story. You know, you can laugh at me if you want, but this simple story changed me. You know, I felt God speak directly to my heart when I heard it. It really spoke to me about my purpose in Christ. He told the story of preaching in a small village that had a straw hut for a church. The native people spoke the Fong language, and they couldn't translate English directly to Fong. So it had to be translated to Spanish, and from Spanish then to the native language. So if you want to do the math, a 5-minute sermon took 15 minutes. A 30-minute sermon, an hour and a half. But he tells the story of being in this church really early in the morning. He'd never preached on a foreign mission field. This was his first time. He was nervous, and he got there at the church really early to pray. He was kneeled down in the back of the church. Obviously, there were no lights in this straw hut, so it was difficult to see. But there were logs that they had used for benches because they obviously didn't have pews or chairs. They just had logs laid out. And they had a big log for a pulpit and then another smaller log laid out for an altar. As he kneeled in the back, there was a lady that came in to the front of the church, and she had something in her hand. She put it down on the altar, and she kneeled down and she started to pray. He said she prayed for at least 2 hours, interceding for the preacher and for the people of the village to have an understanding of God. He said, at the time, I didn't know exactly what she was saying, but I knew exactly who she was talking to because the Spirit of God filled that little church. He went on to say that church began to fill as people came that morning. A little straw hut smaller than this stage had 70 people, some standing around the outside, some outside of the church to hear God's word. He finished the message. People were responding. They were coming forward after hearing the gospel. That lady that came in and prayed early, she got up and she went to the altar and she picked up the object that she had put there earlier. And it was a beer can filled with rocks, with a rag stuffed in the top. Very similar to something like this. And she began to shake it. As she shook that can, she started to sing. And in the Fong language, she said, "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord." And 8 people came to Christ that day. As I found out later, here's what he said. She found this beer can along the riverbank. And it was a very poor community, and she'd never seen an aluminum can before. So she picked it up and she cleaned it off. She cleaned all the mud off of it. And she thought it might make an interesting sound if she put something inside. So she made an instrument with it by putting rocks in it and the rag in the top. Joe Veal said, "At this point, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, 'Joe, you are that beer can. I picked you up, I cleaned you off, and I filled you with the rock. And I want to use you as an instrument for praise.'" When I heard that story, like I told you earlier, it changed me inside. I realized that I was in that very same position. God was in the middle of doing the very same thing in my life. And I just didn't quite see it that way. But I want to tell you something this morning. He wants to do the same thing with each and every one of you here this morning. Just like he did with the Apostle Paul. Just like he did with Joe Veal. He wants to do the same with each one of you. We're not made to sit here in this sanctuary in the pew. We're made to get out into the community and to tell people about Christ. So my challenge to you this morning is to do exactly that. You've heard God's call. The question is, what will you do? What will you do? Will you stand with me? As always, I just ask that you bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard some of the things that we talked about. But this morning you feel Him knocking on the door of your heart. If that's the case, I want you to know that He loves you and He died for you. The Bible says that every single one of us have sinned. We have all violated God's law. And that the penalty for that sin is death. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And He didn't stop there, because 3 days later He rose from the grave, conquering death. The Bible says that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. You'll be saved from hell and eternal separation from God. And I want you to know that this morning you can leave here and know without question that you're heaven bound. As I say every week, it's not an easy road. Sometimes it's hard. In many cases, it might be the hardest thing you've ever done. To die to yourself. To die to your own wants and needs and give Christ control of your life. Maybe today's the day for you. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You. I've done my very best this morning to bring the word that You inspired me to bring, to say the words You inspired me to say. But Father, You're the only one that can change hearts. And this morning, I just ask that You would be visiting each and every individual here this morning. And if there be anything that needs changed in the lives here today, Father, I pray that You would inspire that change. I pray that You would be working here this morning. I pray that there are people here this morning that came to realize that You want to do a work in their life. And they leave here changed as a result. Father, I thank You so much for the things that You do. I thank You so much for the things that You're going to do. And again, this time of invitation is Yours to inspire, to lead, to convict as You see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we come to You. Amen.